by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are grass make the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. We've got one of the finest guests that we've ever had with us, and her name is Elena Freeland. She's been a Radolf Steiner school pioneer, teacher, lecturer, storyteller, and writer. She's written for alternative publications, edited the stories of survivors of MK Ultra and ritual abuse, and is still ghostwriting books on diverse topics. During her undergraduate days, she studied biology. In 1996, she was awarded a Master of Arts in Great Books and Honors for her thesis on historiography at St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico. In June of last year, 2014, Feral House Books released Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Recently, the Australian magazine Nixus published her article on invasive electromagnetic weapons. Freeland is also the author of a fictional American history series called Sub Rosa America, about the deep politics behind the downfall of the United States since J.F. Kennedy's assassination. She has now begun the sequel to Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, which will be about the next phase of the global chemtrails ionospheric heater technology. The space fence, a smart grid enabled by the ionized atmosphere we now breathe. Inside this space fence lockdown, humanity is to be neurologically herded towards a transhumanist future. Freeland now lives in Olympia, Washington. Welcome to our program, Elena Freeland. Boy, we're proud to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I tell you what, you've done so much over the years, and this book, I finished it early this morning. I read, you know, about three quarters of it, and then we had this extra time because of my technical problems yesterday. So this is really, really working out well. Your book has so much detail, and the sourcing of it, and the quoting of different people's statements and comments and so forth from a lot of different very authoritative sources is very, very insightful. Let's start a little bit on this HARP project. Could you tell our listening audience a little bit about what that is?
Sure. HARP is, for one, there's kind of two levels to it. HARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska. It was considered a research project because in that way, the military would not have to admit that they had weapons agendas for it. And they could also then use non-consensual subjects for experimenting on with the technology if they needed to. That's something that many Americans don't know, that if you can prove that it's a research project, you have much more freedom to use anyone in the experiment without their consent. And HARP in Gakona, Alaska is basically a huge phased array radio frequency grid that they used to zap the ionosphere many miles above us and ionize more energy up there and draw it back down into the lower atmosphere for military use. And now, when I wrote this book, they were phasing out HARP up in Gakona because of various reasons, which I was not privy to at that point and am now. So when I use it in the book, and I make this clear in the introduction, I'm using the acronym HARP, which, of course, as you know, you interviewed Nick Begich years ago. Nick Begich and Gene Manning wrote the book back in 1995, Angels Don't Play This Harp. And they did a tremendous expose of the installation because they were living right in its backyard. Now, I use the term to indicate all the ionospheric heaters, radio towers, radio observatories, NEXRADs, even the old Gwen towers, the Ground Wave Emergency Network, the cell towers and all the different arrays on the cell towers. Now I use the term HARP to refer to a global system of communications. And that communications would best be described in the military's term C4. That's command, control, communications, and computers. And what they've sold the world on is that we're suffering under global warming. And there indeed is global warming going on. But as I say over and over again, it is not due to carbons. It is due to the ionospheric heater activity going on around the globe as weather is being engineered. And many experiments are being run on that. So the term HARP has been useful, and I'm rather fond of it, despite what it does. But now I'm going to move in the next book to another term that is more exact for what's happening in phase two of what HARP discovered, and that is the term the space fence. And that's a military term. Now, I didn't originate that. The U.S. Navy and Air Force have originated that term. But the space fence is the next phase of the HARP technology.
Right. I spent 3 years in the Army Security Agency in the 60s, and I ended up in West Berlin. So I had a very, very, just the very beginning of the system that we had worldwide at the time, and they have far surpassed that with this new system, have they not?
Absolutely. I mean, the name of the game now, we're moving beyond a missile defense system, and we're moving into an electromagnetic system, which will be far superior militarily. But along with that, you can see what's happening to our weather systems. I mean, it was snowing in San Diego 2 days ago. So there are there's going to be some fallout. And it appears to me, I don't know what the military was like for you in the 60s, but it appears to me that the military doesn't really care that we're all going to pay for this technology.
Right. We had in the 60s there, we had a much more patriotic group of military, it seemed like to me. And we did not do spying internally in the domestic area here in the United States at the time. But neither did we have 9/11, see. But 9/11 has been used as a mechanism to virtually lock down the country. What would be your comments?
Oh, yes. I think that the 2001 event was, as many people say, our Pearl Harbor. Definitely so. And now it seems they have carte blanche to do whatever they damn well please in the name of serving defense. And the term defense, very sadly, has almost become a dirty word to many people because there are so many lies, such subterfuge, and such constant denial. I think it's called something deniability. I am just pursuing educating the public as to their condition, because this is affecting our health in a terrible way. And I don't know if when you read the three quarters of the book, maybe you didn't get to the Morgellons chapter, did you?
Yes, I did. In fact, in 2009, we had a Morgellons party here and in Austin over five and a half years ago. So I've been on this subject since 2006 on Morgellons. So I am aware of that condition.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone has the lesions, but as life would have it, I thought I'd tell you an interesting anecdote.
Let me make one just small comment a second, Elena, about your section on Morgellons. You have really contributed a great deal in that section of your book on Morgellons. I've never seen anyone.
Yes, and it was entirely due to the fact that I'm close friends with Clifford Carnicum,
okay.
And that was something that life set me up for.
Well, you know, Elena, you made a major contribution in pulling in so many loose ends together. Not only have you put the chemtrails in the elements that they add in there, but you also went in depth on the Morgellons, unlike I've ever seen anyone write, and that is a major contribution to the understanding, not only of the professionals, but to the average layman that will read your book. And gosh, I highly recommend your book to anyone, whether they're a layman just beginning to learn about these things, or if they're a professional. The reference and the quotes in there from different sources is very, very excellent.
Yes, thank you. And a word on that, a lot of people think that you have to have a PhD in plasma physics or astrophysics or epidemiology in order to go into all the data in open source on the internet. But all you have to do is be willing to pay attention and know how to research and stick with it. And that's really, we can't wait for the experts. I don't know if you know, but many of these scientists have been given warnings. They are not to speak about certain things. They are to go along with the program of this is all due to geoengineering, this is all due to carbons, and that, you know, the panacea is going to be the program that's already been operant for 15 years with absolute deniability. And we do not need to wait for the experts. We can find these things out ourselves, and in fact, not just can, we have to, for the sake of our children and our grandchildren who are coming. All the trees that are dying now, all the gardens that are just too alkaline in order to grow the food we need, the good food, the fact that Monsanto and other GMOs like DuPont are pushing a bill of goods on us. I mean, most of the world is refusing GMOs at their borders. And Americans, we just are watching our TVs and we're not reading and we're not discussing with each other what is going on. We owe it to the future generations to take this very seriously. And really, I'm not making any money from this book. I mean, that's how it works in the publishing industry. Your first book, you don't make any money. You have to write more books in order to make money. No, I want people to read it so they know their condition, so they can get busy to help our health. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Just the time and the organization and all the time spent in putting this book together, to me, tells how sincere you are about trying to help this country.
Oh, yes, and not just this country. I mean, I hear from people all over the world every day. I have so much Facebook population of people that are, I mean, all NATO countries are under these artificial clouds that are dropping heavy metals, polymers, and biologicals on us on a nano scale that we are all breathing. And truthfully, even though people may not have the lesions that Morgellons victims have, we all are carrying that cross-domain bacteria that I talk about in that section. We are all petri dishes for these biological experiments that are being run on us, and that means everybody in the world.
Yes, we did a test. I think it was the Gwen Scott came up with it, Dr. Gwen Scott.
Yes.
And we did that test with the grapefruit juice. In 2009, we call it a Margellans party down at Brave New Books here in Austin, and we all came up with that material in, being filtered out through a coffee, filter. And also,
yes,
at that time, we interviewed Randy S. Weimer. He was director of the Center for Investigation of Margellans out of Oklahoma State University. And I went in just recently today before this morning in preparing for this interview, and I just went into the Wikipedia definitions of Margellans, and they're still saying that parasitosis thing. Are you kidding me? They're into disinformation still.
Delusional parasitosis.
Yes,
I mean,
that's what they said in there. That's what they said.
How humiliating is it? Go into your doctor. And they send you down to the psychiatric department,
right.
And it goes on your record for the rest of your life that you have delusions, and they never even take a specimen from the lesions. It's incredible. I mean, if you read this from China, you might believe it, but in the United States, yes, this is a new America we have going here, and I'm sure I don't need to tell you and your listeners that.
Well, let's touch a second on the delivery. We're talking about HARP, which is a border into the ionosphere. Then we're talking about this chemtrail program, and is that delivered by not only commercial aircraft, but they have fleets of tankers. Is that correct?
Yes, many commercial aircraft are doing it. There are also private airlines with C-130s, and we have the military who is also delivering it. And I think now, I mean, this has been going on for over 15 years.
Yes.
Now what we're going to have now, and it will be in the next book that I explain it, there is now much research that's been done on jet fuel. They were using JP4, now they're using JP8, and that fuel is now about to change where nothing will come out of the back of planes. And a lot of people think that this is all contrails because we have so much jet traffic, but that's just simply not true. And actually, if you really do a little bit of research on the internet about the contrails, you can discover that because it's a turbofan system, and there's a really good little YouTube on the net that shows how that works. There is no real condensation coming out of the backs of almost all jets, except military fighters, which have turbofan engines. And so everything you see coming out of a plane at altitude, whatever the altitude is, none of what you're seeing is really water condensation. You are seeing all chemicals coming out. So there are so many misconceptions that have been, I feel, implanted by the military, including the term chemtrails. That comes from the U.S. Air Force Academy. That's the term they used in their chemistry courses for their cadets. So just about everything that we hear and that's made fun of by major media, which, as you know, are all owned by corporations and are all complicit and, as they call it, embedded, all of that, we need to stand up and be bold. Even when our friends smirk at us and call us conspiracy theorists, et cetera, this is real. And that's why I loaded the book with 600 footnotes. I wanted to say to people, hey, this is real. And please go to the internet and follow some of those open sources that I list. Many, many military documents are open source on the net, and I assume it's because they believed Henry Kissinger when he said that they didn't have to worry about hiding those things, that Americans just don't read anymore.
Right.
And I'm afraid that I agree with him,
right.
But I wrote a book anyway.
Right. There was a rainfall collection made sample, down in Australia, and I think that rainfall came up with aluminum, arsenic, barium, boron, iron, manganese, and zinc. Would those be some of the elements, the additives they're putting into the chemtrails? Is that what they're dispersing?
Yes, and some of those are actually in the jet fuel.
Okay.
I think ones that I'm most concerned about, and so are others like Dane Wigington down in California,
okay,
would be the aluminum and the barium.
Okay.
Because the aluminum has four times the surface area of the barium, amazingly, and they're using more aluminum than anything. But both of those are highly conductive, and they need those for the radio frequency that they're hitting walls of chemtrails laid, such as along the Pacific coast, when they have subjected California to over 3 years of drought. So that aluminum is dropping into the soil. It's killing the trees. It's destroying the pH of the soil, so that gardening and farming, I mean, that's why Monsanto came out with, lo and behold, an aluminum-resistant seed. I mean, talk about being in bed with the military. You know, this is all about Eisenhower's warning, military-industrial complex. I would just add the word intelligence to that.
Right.
So, those are things that we're breathing, and aluminum has definitely the research has been done on aluminum, proving that it's connected to Alzheimer's, it's connected to autism, and these diseases are skyrocketing now since this program began.
Here's what you're saying in one of your paragraphs on page 143. Aluminum strips the body of boron. Unassailed by aluminum, boron builds strong bone, defends the heart, and helps calcium metabolize phosphorus and magnesium. As a neurotoxin, aluminum blocks nerve impulses, dulls thinking concentration, and can produce dizziness, memory loss, impaired coordination, involuntary tremors, speech disorders, loss of balance, and energy. Boy, you say it a lot in that one paragraph.
I do tend to write long sentences if I'm not careful.
you know, one of my friends one time, yeah, when you talk about long sentences, I wrote a 55-word sentence one time. And one of my editors on one of my books came to me and they said, Mr. Butler, this is a run-on sentence. And I said, what do you mean run-on? I think it makes a lot of sense. It's 50. They said, yeah, it does, but it's 55 words long. So we laughed about that. But no, that aluminum then, have they moved from one type of dispersion to dispersing aluminum more than other you know what I mean, toxins and stuff in there and elements?
Well,
it's hard,
I'm not
it's hard
sure,
to know exactly, isn't it? Because it's a
well, I know
program.
One thing.
Yep.
I know that they make Billy Hayes, who
yep.
used to work for a three-letter agency
okay.
of the U.S. government, and he was involved in building the HAARP Tower. He's been involved in 250 projects of building ionospheric heater projects around the world. Billy says there are 12 batches. There are 12 recipes
okay.
of chemtrails, and they're used for varying purposes. And as you know, they can also load a little extra of this and a little less of that. So it's important to realize that while they're engineering the weather, yes, and I do want to name the seven agendas, by the way. That's very important because weather is only one of them.
Sure.
But weather is a very important one.
Exactly.
While they're laying the chemtrails and then zapping them with radio frequency in order to move the jet stream in a variety of it for whatever their purposes are, such as the drought in California, and now the deep freeze going on in the Midwest. This is all contrived. It's all engineered. I do not know that there's any natural weather left, except that they always need a natural system coming in that they can then fiddle with and turn to their own purposes. These different recipes are for different purposes, and I think that I think you're absolutely right that California has been hit with a tremendous amount of aluminum, though I hear because the jet stream, as you know, it comes up over Vancouver Island up where I am. I'm up in the Pacific Northwest. Because it comes up there and then dips down into the other western states and into the Midwest and South and back up to the East Coast, a lot of the aluminum, in fact, we're supposed to be the heaviest in aluminum up here in the Northwest. But what it's done in California, as you saw this last summer and early fall, is it's making it tinderbox dry in California. And the fires there, the firefighters are all saying they have never experienced heat like that. And they're absolutely right. They're experiencing a microwave heat. They're just like being in an oven because of that aluminum that is drops down to the soil and is in the tree bark and on the leaves. It's a horror. And why the aluminum? Because it's so conductive for military purposes. That's
right.
The only reason I can come to.
Yeah, you said something about the seven agendas and so forth. Let's name those before we forget that. Yes.
All right. Okay, so the first one we've talked about is weather and environmental modification. And these are primarily, as I said, this entire program is militarily run.
Now this is, getting back to this, this is the chemtrail program, right, we're talking about here, right?
And ionospheric heaters,
and
yes.
Together. Go ahead. Okay, continue.
All right.
Sorry.
Operation is weather environmental modification, and it is for warfare. But when we say warfare, remember that back in the 90s, the military underwent a revolution in military affairs. It's called RMA. And what happened is the military, all the different arms of the military, redefined warfare as being asymmetric. Symmetric warfare is over. Asymmetric warfare is in, and this includes what I said on the cover of the book, full-spectrum dominance. And when they say full-spectrum dominance, I would think of it in two ways. Full-spectrum dominance meaning they've got anthropologists and PhDs working for them now in order to really militarize everything in life. And the other sense of full spectrum dominance is the electromagnetic spectrum. That's the real sense that they're going, because this is an electromagnetic era.
Yeah, another military term would be full spectrum superiority. That's official military term also. Go ahead, continue.
All right. Yes, exactly. And so when I say that weather is being militarized for warfare, I also include political and economic warfare, because people often don't think of this, but to be able to engineer the weather and create environmental modification, or let's just say the word for what it really is, destruction, you can then blackmail nations into behaving in the way you want them to behave, or you give them a threat that you're going to move a weather system in there and take all of Iran's water. They're going to be in drought till the cows come home. Or you can dump floods on a nation. And then what you can do after, and this goes into Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, which she defines disaster capitalism, and she actually says, she's a Yale graduate, she actually says that now that this capitalism has pretty much a certain type, has run its course, now we're moving into disaster capitalism where the fat cats need to make more money, so they're going to make it through disasters. So you bring a flood to Haiti, and then you bring in Halliburton and all the other rebuilders. You move people out of their homes, as we did in New Orleans, and then you redo that real estate. First you sell it for a song to the local buyer, and then you rebuild it for the moneyed people, and you redo the port while you're at it. I mean, these it's hard to imagine, because we're all decent people. It's hard to imagine that the elite would consider destroying lives and homes and entire cultures in order to pump up the economy. But that's exactly what's going on, and weather is being used to do it. So that's just the first agenda, all right? But remember, the money is flowing around these disasters.
Sure.
Okay, number two, the second operation is electromagnetic operations. And this is all very interesting to them. Plasma physics is one of the biggest booming studies now, as they draw charged particles from the upper atmosphere down into our lower atmosphere, spreading barium and aluminum particulates to increase the conductivity in the lower atmosphere, so that what we're breathing now is a continuously ionized atmosphere. And a lot of people don't understand what this means, but last summer I heard people say over and over again, I feel like I'm breathing in heat and that I'm getting hot from inside my body. Well, I just love it that people are so smart about their perceptions, because that's exactly what was going on for people. You get the heat through the ionized atmosphere, which is all these negative ions all popping around us all the time, very different from what we used to breathe. And then you've got the people have already inhaled and ingested tons of aluminum and barium and strontium. And the synergy between the outer atmosphere and the heat of the solar rays of summer, and the inside, we've got all these conductive metals. You're getting heated from the inside. It's like you're in the microwave oven like a baked potato. That's exactly what people went through. So that is all very interesting to the military. It's all experimental. I'm sure they're keeping records. They're probably hacking into the hospital records and studying people that check in for whatever ailment they have. So that's electromagnetic operations. And, you know, mainly they're now studying the barometrics and everything. I mean, they must feel like they died and gone to heaven with this great, huge, global, open field experiment.
Okay.
Third operation, military operations, just absolutely military operations, from refueling low orbiting platforms to space operations. And this is where that space-based scalar space fence comes in, that is replacing the old ground-based missile defense. And I think that I'm going to be able to prove in the next book that we have already engaged in space operations. We have already engaged in space warfare, and it is continuing now. And with the space fence in place, that will be a new era. And I think I'll be dead by then, I hope, so that I can look at it from another vantage point. So that's military operations. That's the third one. All right, fourth one, biological and chemical operations. And this is a very extensive experimental program, going all the way from biotechnical delivery of biowarfare components via nanotech. I mean, think about it. We're inhaling, we're inhaling the heavy metals. We're inhaling polymers, which are piggybacked by biologicals, such as the one I explained in the Morgellons chapter, what Clifford Carnicum has named the cross-domain bacteria, which means it has been genetically engineered to cross all three domains of life. And then I go into detail in the chapter about all the amazing things it can do. But along with that are also nanoscale microprocessors. Those are tiny, tiny computers, believe it or not. We have inhaled those. We have ingested those. And they can be remotely contacted for those who have the software to contact them. We have inhaled sensors. The sensors that would tell if, again, remotely contacted, could tell them how our endocrine system is doing, how our hemoglobin is doing, what's going on in our ears. As I said, they must be thrilled with this open field experiment that only the people are going to pay for, as usual. And then that biological chemical, realize, that also goes down to human behavior and the control of it. Because if they're using frequencies, they have all these conductive metals in the environment, and then they can zap a frequency over a certain population base, and all those people will have a drop in their in potassium. If they hit it with, I think it's 5 hertz, if they hit it with the right frequency for the potassium in our system, which we need for health, they can just drop the bottom right out of our potassium. So this is tremendous power in this fourth operation.
Okay.
And then there's fifth operation, the planetary geophysical operations. This would include big oil and all their platforms, all the fracking going on, the hydraulic fracturing. This includes the tomography of the various satellite systems and HARP-type systems. All of this is hitting the Earth and moving Earth changes. It goes down to the plates. We can have more earthquakes. As you know, sinkholes are appearing all over the planet. Salt domes down in Louisiana are collapsing. All these Earth changes, initially in the ionosphere and the magnetosphere, but don't these guys get it that if you poke holes in the ionosphere and the magnetosphere, that then the troposphere is going to suffer from this? No, it doesn't seem that that matters to them. I guess they assume that Mother Nature will recover from anything. Then the sixth operation is intelligence and surveillance, which Edward Snowden recently announced, but I had already known for 10 years, for the sake of C4, the command, control, communications, and computers, and for virtual warfare, holographics that can be, we can have Jesus and Mary in the sky any time now, or a legion of alien ships arriving. Then the intelligence surveillance has to do with the mind control capability, and I will definitely go into that in the next book. And then finally the seventh, which Clifford and I came up with, is the most far out of all, and I don't cover it in this book, but I definitely will in the next book, is the detection of exotic propulsion systems. And what I mean by that is, and I should say detection and obscuring of exotic propulsion systems. I do believe that our military has electromagnetic disc capability, has since we brought over the Nazis under Operation Paperclip, and that we can hide them. And we can also, with the right instrumentation that the military, I'm sure, has, perceive them, because in this next era, in the next 50 years, we're going to see more and more exotic propulsion systems. And I do believe that the chemtrail HARP full spectrum dominance, the electromagnetic spectrum hinge upon, is definitely interested in perceiving these exotic propulsion systems. So that's the seven agendas that we've come up with.
Boy, that is very insightful and very well put. On this Margellan's angle here,
You
seem to indicate in your book that some of the work that at Clifford has done, Carnicum, indicates that there's a lessening of the red cells there to carry oxygen, or a decrease of oxygen ability or efficiency. Would that not give rise to a plethora of differing illnesses and disease then?
Absolutely. You're so right. I did the red wine test, similar to what you did at your Morgellons party.
Yeah, okay.
And I saw the fibers, and as you remember in the chapter, I talk about Clifford's long, painstaking research on a shoestring budget because the CDC and the EPA absolutely ignored him, except that in any week during his research years, you could go and check, and you would see over 150 U.S. agencies were all hitting his site to see what he had come up with. Clifford then took my blood, because I had the fibers, and we looked at my blood under one of his high-powered microscope, a 3,000-time microscope, and I watched the cross-domain bacteria bury its head in my erythrocytes and suck out the iron in my blood. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I watched that. Yes. And yet, my blood cells were not aberrant. They were perfectly round. And Clifford and I couldn't figure out why all the other samples, the blood cells were aberrant from this little vicious creature that was in there. And I was older than everybody else. So it couldn't be age. And we realized it was probably my diet. I've been on a special diet called macrobiotics for 45 years. Not religiously so, but every day I'm thinking about the alkaline acid balance that I'm eating. Because these critters, this is the good news, these cross-domain bacteria love acidity and hate alkalinity. Alkalinity does not kill them, but it does put them in stasis. They will not grow or reproduce in an alkaline environment. Clifford has done that in petri dishes. So if I keep my blood at a certain alkaline acid ratio of about 7 to 1, then I do not make a climate that they like. They're in me. I know that. They're in all of us who have breathed on this planet. They're in the animals. Clifford has checked in dogs. He's checked in babies. He's checked in placentas in babies in utero. So, yes, we all have them, these genetically created creatures. But we can keep our immune system strong. We have less oxygen. I think one of the geoengineers said that we're functioning on 16% less oxygen on the planet now. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. So, okay, they're eating our hemoglobin, our carrier of oxygen. We're functioning on less oxygen. So we are getting more and more chronic diseases, chronic fatigue syndrome, cancer, blah, blah, blah. But the good news is if we take our lifestyle in hand and eat well and eat in a way that is natural, we avoid the GMOs. I cannot stress that strongly enough. There is something conniving behind the GMOs and the chemtrail ionospheric heater technology. They have connived together. And we are the means to their wealth and their experiments. So if we keep our blood in an alkaline form, not extremely alkaline, but balanced with a bit of acidity, similar to how we want to keep our soil, then we will be able to weather this latest travesty of the American military.
Well, I tell you what, you said a lot. It looks like to me that what has been created intentionally is a eugenics program, but it's getting into food and air and electromagnetic radiation, and it's touching so many different areas. But it looks like the long term goal is to reduce the population. What do you think?
Well, they need slave workers, so they are not going to want to reduce it by too much. I think the people that are most abused by all the experimentation going on, also by Big Pharma. Big Pharma is right in on this, as you can imagine,
right.
And the medical industry. The continent that has suffered the most is Africa, because they are used for more trials and more experimentation by Big Pharma and the medical industry than any other people I know. And that's got to be racist eugenics. It's got to be. But I do not think their primary purpose is to kill us. I think they're interested in a chronic demand that will increase their wealth.
Repeat that again. I think there was a tone in there. Go ahead. Repeat that a second.
Yes, I do not think that they're trying to that eugenics is the number one purpose. I think they want us to have experience a chronic demise that will enrich them.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay, so these are business models that they're actually pursuing and creating to make money.
Exactly. I mean, can you think of anything more evil than to make people's well-being a business model? It's astonishing.
Well, this and Ebola is a good example of that, would you think? That's a good example?
Well, Ebola is definitely part of the biological warfare coffers, you bet. But this latest Ebola scare, I think, was just to add a little income to the vaccination Big Pharma. Don't you?
Yeah, well, there are $6 billion, I think, that they're trying to allocate for it in this country. And the problem in Africa was that, well, I went back to 76, and the village that it first appeared in, it was the Ebola virus is named after the Ebola River, which is north-central Congo. Okay, and
yes.
There was malaria shots given to everyone at this local clinic that came down with the Ebola originally. So I mean, you know, it's a big. If you go to Steve Quayle's site and you see that list of dead scientists, it makes you think and ponder about the big picture. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh, and that's to me, that's exactly what scientists now are experiencing regarding this latest the secret out in the open. That's what this geoengineering thing is. It's a secret out in the open, because they have taught us not to believe in our own perceptions and not to believe in our own thinking capability. They have taught us to worship science and worship experts and sit at their feet like the medieval Catholics would sit at the Pope's feet and wait for the pronouncement of what we should believe. And I suppose I've always been a rebel, you know. I mean, I'm from the 60s and I have done my own thinking, even in college,
right.
Which is always very dangerous in college, by the way. So I think that, if we can all, just concentrate on learning about how this technology works. I do give a few dietary recommendations in the chapter, the last chapter of the book. And, you know, I will go on. I mean, we haven't even talked about the space fence. That's a horror in itself, which is the next phase, which will be a planetary lockdown. Planetary, yes. And they are now sending booster rockets up and laying aluminum, barium, and strontium, et cetera, above the planet for that purpose.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I tell you, these people are just ungodly, aren't they?
Well, they're ungodly and they're psychotic.
Yeah,
yes.
We've touched on this over the years, The men that run this thing are psychopaths, it appears to me. They would not pursue these kinds of very ugly and evil, you know what I mean, going ons unless they were at least the minimal is sociopaths, and the top level probably are full blown psychopaths, you know, because they're totally insane to be doing what they're doing. You have to be.
And if you study, which I did for the Sub Rosa America series, if you study, and I've known a few elites in my past, if you study how they raise their children and how they live,
right.
you begin to understand that it's an entirely, it's as if they're on another planet. And so I feel for their children. They're raised in a terrible manner with much pain and very little love, and they're prepared to handle the reins of power brutally. And these people below them are blackmailed after they're probably, some of them anyway, injected with scopolamine, and which makes you do whatever you're told to do, and then they're filmed having sex with children. That's how they're controlling the rest.
Right.
And that would include our Senate, absolutely.
Well, you know, the country since the 50s, I grew up as a young teenager in Austin in the 50s, and there's been just a major turn, a debasement of the country, devolving, say, I guess would be a word to describe it. And it's just not the same country as we had before. And the elites are all money-driven. It's worship of mammon and wealth versus a God or some higher meaning a more higher-minded type of ideas. And they just converted it into a pecking order of money, power, and ruthlessness, what I see out there, what's going on.
I would add one agenda for the very highest who are in brotherhoods. I would say certain brotherhoods have lost their way. Right. And the high elites also have the agenda of a transhumanist future, in which we are controlled not only in our brains, but right down to our DNA. I think that they see this as being as gods, and they are heading toward it now with this amazing technology that gives them global power, true global power. I mean, Rome wanted global power. Genghis Khan wanted global power, but this technology... This technology, they have high hopes in. And of course, you and I know that every bid for empire has failed. I'm a historian. I've read it all.
Right.
And this will fail as well. But my heart hurts for all the people who will be pained by this. And so I work very hard on this.
Well, we appreciate all your hard work. At the end of the Roman Empire, there was an imperialism period in there, and emperors became gods, right? And so, but the problem with this thing too is what I've been talking about is what I call the man problem, and men are the real problem in this world. I'd have to attribute 80% of the world's problems to men, and because of their ego state and all this, they're physically driven by sex and ego and money and all that, and it's synergistically they're driven, and it's actually into a delusional system of being deluded by ideas that are wrong for themselves and the world.
Yes, being female, I feel I can speak on that. I would say that men have it hard to handle testosterone.
Yes.
I think testosterone is much harder to handle than estrogen. And I watch men struggle with it, good men, men who have a respect for women. In this country, it is very misogynist. I have gotten used to being second-class citizen, and I have been on my guard all my life as an intellectual, competing with men in school. And I really feel for men. Of course, I have two sons, you know. I watch them struggle.
Right.
And okay. There are some women who have sold out their womanhood too to fit into the male world.
I know.
But it's mostly, I think of it mostly as materialism. Materialism has just gone nuts.
It has.
Men have gone along with it because men love the physical world.
That's right.
There is more than the physical world that we stand for, as I assume you and I know. So I want people to read the book and give it to their friends and donate it to their libraries, so that people can know our condition. No, it doesn't feel good to know, but you know what? We've been asleep too long, been
right.
asleep and dreaming in our little personal lifestyles. It's time to wake up and do something for the future.
That's for sure. We've got about 4 minutes left. What would be your concluding remarks this evening?
Well, I recommend to people to come to I have two Facebook sites for the book.
Okay.
One of them is called The Name of the Book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And that one is where I put up things and people comment on them. And then I have a group page called Ilana Freeland, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum. And you ask to be a member, and I'll okay it, and then you can put up things that you find. But I am very impressed with the people that come to the site. Hundreds come and post things that are expanding my knowledge. And I just recommend that people get into that. And instead of putting up the puppies and the kitties and the recipes, that we turn to the business at hand of saving our country if we can, but saving our world from a future that I certainly do not want.
Right. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that the battle line runs through every human heart between the struggle of good and evil. And I think
it gets down to every
person has to take personal responsibility to start doing what's right for themselves, their family, and this country, and this world. And so,
that's right.
So we've got to point to individuals. You know? You've got to do something right.
I believe in that. I believe that by through your intent and what you put your time and attention, as Jesus said, where your heart lies, where your attention lies, there lies your heart also.
Right.
So let's turn our attention to the thing that we're here to do. We all decided to live now, and we have challenges before us. It's nothing new, but they are considerable challenges, and it needs all of us. And I invite everyone to join me. A very exciting time to be alive.
Well, you know, you've written a very fine book, and the harp tie-in to not only that and the chemtrails, and then also the Morgellons is very, very insightful. I've studied it over the years myself, but the way you tie a lot of that together, and then the nutritional, and they can buy that book to get some of those nutritional lists there about how to become, to strengthen that immune system, were really, really, invaluable to the average reader and so forth. So we just want to thank you for all your hard work and everything else. And any little closing comments here? We got about a minute left.
Well, I really appreciate radio shows like yours that reaches out to people. I'm a big believer in radio. I'm not a believer in television or in movies for that matter. The visual is different from hearing, and I think people have more discernment through hearing, where they can think about what's being said and they're not faced with a visual. And I'm so grateful for shows like yours.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the program and being your big part of the program tonight. And we certainly want to thank you for all your hard work. And anyway, thank you very much for being with us. You've written a fine book. Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Ilana Freeland, thank you very much for being with us this evening. And thank you, and we'll have you back again, that's for sure.
Well, thanks for having me. Good night.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye.